What's up, friends? Welcome back to another episode of the Year of Plenty podcast. I hope everyone's having an amazing day so far. Mine's been going pretty good. So my guests today are two young men who really decided to start their own ketchup company. Their brand name is Ketchup Please, and you will hear in this episode how exactly they got this name. Now, you know, before you start screaming about how unhealthy ketchup is and all the other condiments out there in the market right now, I just want you to know that the ketchup that these guys have brought to the market is very different from almost any other ketchup out there. And this is mostly due to the ingredients that they use. And what's even better, their ketchup has zero added sugars, which, you know, is not easy to find. And me personally, you know, being on a low-carb diet, that's something I'm always looking for. There really are ways to make condiments more healthy, and these guys have figured it out. And just so you guys know, I don't want you to think that this episode is a giant infomercial. I'm not getting paid or anything by them. I just really enjoy, you know, supporting companies that have the public interest in mind, especially when it comes to food. So I figured I'd have them on to share their mission and their story. Now, you will hear us name a couple places here in Wisconsin. If you live near any of these locations, I really encourage you to go out and try to buy their product. You know, just convince yourself. It really does taste phenomenal. All right, and one last thing. I'm eager to hear some feedback about the podcast from you guys. You know, if you have any recommendations that I could, of things that I could do to make the show better, any, you know, topics you want to hear of, or, you know, just things you like, things you dislike, let me know. And you can do that by sending me an email. The email is theyearofplenty@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram, which is @PoldyWheeland, all one word. Just shoot me a direct message. The podcast is also on Twitter and Facebook, so you can always send a message over there as well. I'd love to hear from you guys. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Let's get into the episode with Evan and Reed. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Great.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming through. I'm a big fan of your product, and I asked you guys to come on the show because, you know, I really want to help support healthy foods, and especially I have a hard time finding healthy sauces out in the market. Mm-hmm. And yours is, you know, one that I looked at the ingredient list and I agreed with everything on there. So that's mm-hmm. pretty cool. But before we get into the details, you know, how old are you guys?
I'm 17.
I just turned 17.
That's pretty cool because I feel like you don't see too many people that age, you know, trying to start a business and definitely not trying to get into the food industry. Mm-hmm. So that's, I just want, you know, to make sure the listeners know that.
Yeah.
Now, you guys decided to do something bold in my eyes. And, you know, I think, or I say bold because in my eyes, starting a ketchup company is definitely something that, you know, a lot of people would probably say you'll have no chance in the market with a new ketchup. Mm-hmm. How, you know, is that something you got? Is that something you heard from a lot of people when you guys started out?
I would say some people, but I think most of people were definitely supportive of us and just supportive of all of our ideas. And
yeah, the one thing is as we're continuing to work with the cold packery, we're basically warned that there are, I don't want to call them bullies, but there are a lot of bullies in the food market, and they're always looking out for the smaller brands and stuff. And I can tell you though, actually in our experience with the FDA, a lot of these companies actually write when they wrote the law before in a way that they can keep a monopoly in the market. We actually struggled for a while there having our product become called ketchup. We weren't allowed to call it ketchup because we didn't have a nutritive carbohydrate sweetener. It's basically a sugar or high fructose corn syrup. So that's just one of the ways though those big brands kind of try to bog down the smaller brands because there's no competition. So I'd say, yeah, we've got a lot of really good feedback and stuff from local people. And, I mean, we're just trying to get bigger, but, there is a lot of competition.
Yeah. And that's something we'll definitely get into in a bit here, but before we even talk about the product itself, you know, tell me about the idea, you know, why start a ketchup company?
Well, it goes back, all the way to about 2015. Actually, a little bit before that. So I would, at my house and at my grandma's house, I'd actually cook ketchup with her because it tasted better than mainstream ketchup. I've never really liked the taste of Heinz. I know that sounds probably crazy to a lot of people, and I'm not bashing them. I mean, it's ketchup, but I just never liked the taste. So we cook every now and then. You know, in 2015, I had open heart surgery. So it was for a congenital heart defect, atrial septal defect, and it wasn't directly that event that inspired me to want to create ketchup or anything. I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial attitude, but I was kind of thinking, even in the hospital and my recovery after that, a six-week period where I couldn't be in school, and, you know, like 6 weeks is a long time to think and not move, and I was just like, you know, what do people not realize inhibits their health and does? You know, it's one thing to say you can eat a salad instead of a Big Mac, okay? But a lot of people don't realize, well, maybe with the salads, the dressings, or in a burger, or even chicken nuggets, or even healthier options, the sauces can add a lot of calories and a lot of added sugar and a lot of salt, which inhibits their health. And so that idea was kind of brewing in my head, on and on and on. And actually, I was in a Culver's drive-thru, I think that summer, so maybe summer 2016. I had my surgery in September 2015, and I was there, and I have to just give a shout-out to Culver's. The people there are great. Every time I go there through Wales, they're really nice. So this is kind of the basis behind the name of the product, is I was going through the drive-through, and they're like, oh, you know, would you like ketchup with that? And I was like, yeah, I want ketchup, please. And they're like, okay. And I was like, this is, you know, and then I was thinking, like, literally at that moment, I'm like, oh, that could be a brand name. That could be the name of the sauce that's going to solve all everybody's problems right there. And that was kind of brewing in my head. Again, still had the entrepreneurial mindset, had a couple other things going, still do have a couple other things going. But it was, I think, yeah, last year, April of 2018, that, oh, actually, I think it was before the school year then, that Reed called me. He literally called me, right?
I had heard something about, oh, Evan's starting up a ketchup business. And me personally, like Evan, I'm a purebred entrepreneur. When I was little, I live on a golf course. So I sell golf balls to golfers, and I'd lemonade and everything. I would just, I had started a landscaping company freshman year that I still operate. And yeah, I heard about this ketchup company, and me personally, I've always been a fan of healthy foods. So, and especially sugar. I actually, last winter, I went off added sugars for 3 months and I lost 30 pounds. So I'm like, okay, the sugar is real. Sugar is the real issue here, especially in America, with all the obesity problems. But anyway, yeah, I heard about this ketchup company. And I just call Evan. I'm like, what is this about? Mm-hmm. And we just got together and we just went to work, you know?
Yeah.
We started out, we literally just looked up ketchup recipe on Google. Yeah. That's how our first recipe came to be. Mm-hmm. And then we spent about 6 months constantly editing the recipe. We had for the first probably, you know, 10 weeks of school, we were cooking ketchup 2 to 3 times a week, really just trying to edit the recipe and get our nutrition facts exactly the way we wanted them. And we really didn't solidify our final recipe until
June of this year.
June.
So. We should note to the viewers out there, we had another business partner, Cole, with us at that time too. He was great in helping us get started and everything.
He just didn't have time to you know, make such a big commitment.
Yeah. So right now he's an independent consultant for us. But before that, you know, he was part of that whole initial creation. And it was crazy. We just take anything we had at home, first recipe, put it in a blender. I had, before I had a NutriBullet, you remember the first recipe I made? Yeah. We had a couple of my golf friends over, and the blender actually, like, there was like this rubber piece on it, and it was rubbing against it, so it smelled like burnt rubber in the house.
Oh yeah, and you don't want that.
Yeah, but we were mixing all these random things
and the
together.
The first time I come over and try the ketchup, Evan's like, "Isn't this pretty good?" I'm just thinking, "This is shit, bro."
Yeah,
like, this is. I'm just thinking, we got a long road ahead of us, and we did.
Yeah, and it's crazy because without the added sugar, it's really hard to make the ketchup taste good. And that's why it took so long. You know, we couldn't just say, oh, here's a basic ketchup recipe we're going to modify.
So stevia is super delicate working with it.
Yeah. Let's talk about that quick. Yeah. So one of them, instead of using sugar, you guys decided to go the stevia route. Mm-hmm. And what's that?
Organic stevia.
Yeah, so, organic stevia. It's another distinction you got to make. Why stevia? And, you know, how did you even find out about it? Because if you're, for people who don't, you know, eat low carb or try to avoid sugars, you know, they usually probably don't know what the stevia plant is at all.
So the stevia plant, again, for what I know, is a plant that predominantly grows in Asia, and it's an actual plant. So compared to things like sucralose and aspartame, it's not an artificial sweetener. It's a legitimate sweetener. The only thing that's kind of held it back over the years is it has a pretty bitter aftertaste. The organic stevia we use, we have a couple of ways that's kind of proprietary to dumb down that aftertaste. Because when we initially did it, we used to use powdered stevia, and it just tasted like it was great in the beginning. It was really sweet, and then you'd have this bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I use stevia myself when I try to ever make desserts or something, and then you also have to watch out because if you use too much, it gets way too sweet, right?
Yeah. So yeah, stevia is 300 times sweeter than sugar.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why we use it, because it's zero calories, zero sugar. So that's how we avoid the added sugars.
And the one we use now is a liquid sweetener. So it actually comes, it's like concentrated.
Like a little bottle, and we just
use it.
Well, you guys have like, I think it's got less than 10 ingredients in the ketchup, right? Somewhere around.
It might actually be 10 on the nose.
With all the different spices. So the spices take up a lot of the ingredients.
But from what I saw, you know, there's really nothing bad in there. There's everything I saw in there is something that I would, you know, use myself.
Yeah.
And
by itself, too.
Yeah. And I'm super happy that you guys don't have any vegetable oils in there. Like, that's pretty much in every condiment, every sauce out there. They use, like, super cheap vegetable oils. And those, you know, I try to really watch my health when it comes to food. And the vegetable oils are super high in omega-6s. And it's super highly, you know, it can cause inflammation in your bodies. Yeah. Have you guys looked into that at all?
Yeah. Actually, on that note, we can get into this a little bit more. We had a business plan we submitted for FPLA. We went to nationals with.
Yeah, but so part of the whole ideation last year.
And that was a 30-page business plan. But part of the whole thing was like, what are the other competitors? What are the other options? And why are those not suitable for us? Why can't we use these other ingredients in our ketchup? And why do other brands use them, you know, and why we're not going to, and how we're going to keep the taste similar, better while doing that. And we can get into the business plan a little bit more, but yeah, we did a lot of research. There was a lot of research. Even when we originally started using stevia, there were a bunch of sweeteners we looked at, a bunch of research we did before we even started using that. And then just to get that amount right each time we made it was insane.
Yeah, and how many recipes did you have at the beginning? I know you said you kind of just fine-tuned the one you found on Google, but
probably 80 to 100.
Wow.
Yeah, I think our last one might have been like 86. I tried to keep track the best I could.
It got too hard to keep count.
Yeah, because it was every week.
Oh yeah,
every week, a couple days.
And you just tweaked like one thing at a time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and it was funny because we can only make such small of a batch. So we would make a batch and we'd still end up with a good amount of ketchup, even though really all we needed to do was cool it and try it.
Yeah. And here's what's a little note to any younger entrepreneurs or people who are thinking of becoming entrepreneurs out there. I don't think there's any better time in your life to start a business than high school, because the amount of people and networking opportunities that are in high school is just incredible. For instance, for us, again, we just go to school, lunch period, have those little plastic dishes of ketchup, just ask people, try this.
When you have hundreds and hundreds of kids and people all in the same location, it's so easy. We would just selling t-shirts and selling, you know, bottles at school. It's awesome because I'll just take, you know, 5-10 bottles in my backpack. I'd be dealing bottles of ketchup at school. And It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great idea because you have that, you know, that amount of people there. And I would say a lot of people probably eating your ketchup is like, what's your target audience usually? Or
oh boy,
our target audience is everyone, because everyone eats ketchup.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'll go into specifics quick. So if you are, and the reason we say everyone, because it's really easy to just say, oh, everybody eats ketchup. Okay. But why should everybody eat a gourmet, healthy, no sugar added ketchup? For the adult who maybe has diabetes or heart issues, where they can have a lot of sodium, they can't have a lot of sugar, our ketchup caters to that. They want a condiment that's not high in all of those bad things for them. Parents in that, the other range, who want their kids to start eating healthy and who themselves want to eat healthy, they want a better condiment. And what people, I think this is kind of funny, we do this at a couple of farmers markets. We actually have carrots and ketchup, and carrots and ketchup actually taste pretty good.
All the people that are on keto diet and don't want to eat the art, because we use potato wedges to sample.
Yeah.
But, and you can get your kids started out with baby carrots and ketchup and stuff. And our ketchup, I'm a little biased, but I think it tastes a lot better. And our ketchup has more of a tomato-y taste to it, so it tastes a little bit natural when you taste it.
It does taste supernatural, and even the smell is different. Mm-hmm. Like, yours is a really, like, potent, good smell.
People have just become so accustomed to thinking that ketchup needs to taste like Heinz, but by definition, ours is ketchup, and we obviously, like Evan talked about with the standard of identity issues, she finally let it pass, our FDA person finally let it go through, and I feel like we're almost redefining what ketchup is and what ketchup can taste like, because people are so accustomed to that super sweet artificial taste of the major brands.
And I mean, you did mention keto a couple times here now, and I've been on a keto diet for like 3 years now. Mostly low carb, but that's why I love it. I think it's got like 2 grams of sugar per tablespoon,
naturally occurring.
Okay, which is like nothing compared. Yeah. If you look at any other ketchup out there, there's going to be a lot more in there.
20% of mainstream ketchup is added sugar alone.
Most of them have 3 grams added. Yeah,
that's crazy. But why? One thing I was wondering, because I saw you guys like posted on Instagram the label, the new one.
Yeah.
And you were asking people for, how do you like it? Any suggestions? Why not have like a keto label or a low carb label on there? I think you guys should definitely do that.
So yeah, we were thinking about that, but we're pretty sure that you have to go through a process of actually becoming, certified or approved.
Yeah.
Got it. Keto approved. So,
yeah.
I did not know that.
We're going to be approved kosher, approved vegan, and all that stuff. We're not going to have those symbols. We have the check marks on our label. But we do want to make sure, though, of course, when people ask, that we're actually approved in all of those. And so we talked to our label. Our label designer for that was my cousin. He's a pretty cool guy. But I talked to him, and in the least derogatory way, it kind of crowded up our label, because there's a bunch of things. There's a keto, then there's the... what's the one that Primal Kit?
Paleo.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things you can add on there. And
we need to keep enough white space on the label itself. We're always able to change the label when we want to.
I just think, that's such a big market.
Yeah,
Whole keto thing or low carb. And I think the whole food industry is kind of moving there, or hopefully it will, And that's why I just think you guys should send it on that one if you can.
Yeah.
And we'll follow demand too. Even if we don't include it on this label, incarnation, we'll, or iteration, sorry. We'll definitely, if people are like, oh, is it keto, or can I actually use this as part of my diet or whatever? And people keep asking us at farmers market and stuff. Obviously, we're going to add that to our label based on consumer demand.
Yeah. And a big thing that, I want people to know is that you're certified organic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's another
huge process, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So why organic? Why does it matter to you guys? And why did you decide to go that route?
The organic food industry is the fastest growing food industry in the United States. So we wanted to follow that trend. And we're also just like, why should we have any artificial anything in our ketchup? Like, I don't want to eat that. And if we're able to have all natural ingredients, all organic ingredients, no, pesticides, fertilizers, artificial preservatives, any of that, then why not, you know?
Yeah. And I do want to, part of a call to action too. I think a lot of brands use a lot of deceiving marketing, especially with all natural claims, because that's not actually directly regulated by FDA.
Yeah, not at all.
So, and we were thinking of using an all natural. Maybe it's a little bit cheaper for our restaurants or whatever. But the thing is we want to be, you know, the top of the, you know, the ketchup chain.
We want to be the Lamborghini of ketchup, the Hennessy of ketchup. We want to be the top.
So,
and yeah. What we have on Heinz is that we're able to sell a $7 bottle of ketchup. Heinz can't sell a $7 bottle of ketchup. They can sell a, you know, $2.99 bottle of ketchup. And we can do that because of all these different things, because we are a local startup, because, and mainly because of our ingredients, maybe because we're organic, we're no sugar added, less sodium than traditional.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Is that something you took into consideration, obviously, the sodium?
Yeah, so originally, before we had done enough research, we had thought we were low sodium, but we actually weren't based on the serving size. But we're at 135 milligrams of sodium, so that most ketchup is at about 180. So we're less than traditional ketchup, but it's really hard to get the taste anywhere, you know, comparable to mainstream ketchup without having a decent amount of salt.
Yeah, and I'm a salted. I actually personally don't care about the sodium levels or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, even in the health industry, are now kind of wheeling back on that, and they're like saying it's not even that bad.
Sugar is still going to be the main culprit.
Sugars and the vegetable oils. Yep. And I'm going to hammer at that because I think it's awesome that you guys don't have it in there. So you guys are USDA organic, right?
Yep.
Take me through that process. I'm interested. Is that something that's super hard to get?
It was a long process.
Yeah.
So we went through Nature's International Certification Services out of Viroqua, Wisconsin. And we started out, we just cold called them. We told them a little bit about us, and they sent us an email with all these forms. There are about 15, 20 forms, and we were overwhelmed. You know, we're like, okay. We just start to look through them. We're like, okay, we can like fill out like maybe two or three of these. And we're just like, this is so complicated. Jesus Christ. So that it took probably 2 months just to get all the forms filled out.
Yep.
Because there was a lot of back and forth, you know, did you do this form right? And
yep. And I would say going forward, generally talking about industry, I like that organic is very strict in the regulations. Compared to, again, just an all-natural claim or something, because it's not regulated. Because and people should know when they buy a product that's certified organic, that it is a step above other products, that they are doing inspections in their own background, and they're looking, you know, going to farms, doing everything to make sure that the product you're getting is, you know, a better product for you. You know, there's no, in the meat industry, artificial growth hormones, or in our industry, there's no genetically, you know, there's nothing genetically modified about it. And that's part of our, I guess, our whole mantra of our product is that when people pick up a bottle of ketchup, please, they know that they're getting the best product no matter what. Again, it's the organic, the no sugar added, everything together, and the taste is just a step above. So they don't have to worry, oh, is this no added sugar, but it's still got sodium? Is this, you know, or, you know, all natural, but it's not organic? We're like, no, we're everything. We're a step above everything. So that's a big part of our brand.
Yeah, no, and that's great. And, you know, with the whole organic thing, like you said, it's growing. And I really think people who are willing to pay, you know, $7 for a product like that, you got to have it organic.
And then that's another thing. So we go to farmers, right when we started and we talked about the $7 bottle of ketchup, a lot of people are like, who would pay $7 for a bottle of ketchup? What I'd say to that, first of all, at farmers markets, everyone. I mean, that's the farmers markets. People who go to farmers markets are willing to spend money. But the way I look at it is people only go through a bottle of ketchup on average about every 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks.
3 weeks with KP.
So you have to look at it this way. You're spending an extra $3 a month about.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, that's not
on your bottle of ketchup. So that's the way we really want to look at it.
See, the way I look at it with food is I really think food shouldn't even be as cheap as it is today. That's only possible because of, you know, first of all, giant, you know, just super cheap ingredients usually.
Yeah.
And a food system that, you know, really kind of cuts out or kind of dominates the smaller, the farmers and the growers and all that. So I'm willing to pay a little more. Mm-hmm. And I think people are kind of waking up to that too. And like you said, $3 more a month, that's nothing. You spend $3 on stupid stuff every day, you know. Why not invest a little bit into something that's
into
better
your bottle of ketchup, your monthly bottle.
Right.
And on that note, in sociology class last year, actually, there's a striking movie we watched. I forgot the name of it, but basically the whole essence behind it was that there was this local town. They were super poor. The waitress could barely support herself because she wasn't getting a tip money. And they were like, well, okay, so these people are really poor, but a lot of them were struggling with obesity too. And it was like, how is that happening? Well, shouldn't they be hungry or whatever? And the problem is a lot of the super unhealthy foods with the big manufacturers and all the unnatural ingredients was cheaper. So it's cheaper for them to go buy it, bags and bags and bags of potato chips, than something like carrots or something healthier, which I think is completely ridiculous. But these big manufacturers, again, are just bullying and bullying and bullying on that. And that's another problem, obviously, our product at its price can't fix, but something we look forward to going forward as entrepreneurs and stuff, solving problems like that.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a much bigger problem in America, as you can probably attest to. In Europe, I went to London and Ireland, and everyone is just so much healthier. Everyone just looks healthy there compared to America. Yeah, come to Wisconsin, I don't know what is the stat? How many people in America are obese?
It's like, I think 36%.
Yeah,
or something
about a
like
third
that.
Of people are obese, which is just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Yeah,
and a lot of that I blame on the sugar and the cheap foods that people have to eat because of their economic situation. So
yeah, it is. I really think it's the processed foods too. You know, you can eat a bunch of crap food, and yeah, you can work out, but you have to work out so much to make up for those calories, and you know, and then if you eat a bunch of sugar, it makes it hard for you to lose fat too, and all that. But how did you guys go about sourcing your ingredients? That's something I'm interested in. You know, was that pretty hard to do?
Well, actually, you probably won't. Nobody will believe this, but where are we going to get our spices from? You know, before we were buying them from the store at like $7 in a little vial, and we're like, okay, this is not going to cut it.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what I've always thought about. Like, the spices are pretty expensive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you wouldn't believe this, but we literally looked up organic spices. First thing that comes up, Organic Spices, Inc. Okay, Organic Spices, Inc. They sell wholesale organic spices. And we went on there, and yeah, you can order it like a pound, 25 pound, 50 pound. One of the things, though, is you have to prove that you're like reselling it to get the tax exemption. But it was crazy. We just looked up. We're like, wow, this is great. So we applied for a vendor form on there, and literally like the next day they approved us with, you know, obviously our name's Ketchup Please, so we're probably reselling whatever we're using the spices for, and we were allowed to go on there and buy it at wholesale prices in bulk. And then the tomato paste, right now we get it from a source in California. We actually get it through Amazon Prime Pantry. As we continue to go through this as co-packer, we're kind of sourcing it. We have a couple options coming up here with a much bigger scale. But what a lot of people don't realize is organic tomatoes, although they're grown seasonally in like the Midwest and stuff, most of them are either from California or they're from Italy. So right now we're working with actually a guy from Dave Fratelli Tomatoes, Herzl Farms, to kind of source. And they don't grow organically, I don't think, but they know a lot of people and companies that do grow organically. And
so they'll be able to connect us with them.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect. That's something, you know, I thought about too. The connections, like you said, if you're starting a business like that, that's everything, right?
That's the one thing that I've learned in this last year and a half. You can be successful in business if you know how to talk to people and if you know how to, you know, build connections and build a network, because so many people have helped us get where we are today.
So you've had a lot of mentors, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and it was unbelievable. Even before we even really started the business, my dad, I mean, he started his business with a $40,000 loan on a service truck with one truck and grew it to a 300-plus truck fleet in Wisconsin against the bullies, against the big trucking companies that were bidding lower than he was. And he did it through providing better service. But the same way we want to kind of approach this is just offering a better product and being honest with those connections. But yeah, that was a big piece for me, just for my dad. But then going on, I mean, there's so many people, especially through, and I would say this is a big part of if you're in high school too and you're thinking of becoming an entrepreneur, join a club, either DECA, FBLA, whatever. I don't think we received a lot of mentors from FBLA, but we met a lot of and connected with a lot of kids.
And especially the business plan. So we received first at regionals, first at state, and then we were able to compete at nationals. We didn't place at nationals, but the whole process of just creating the business plan, 9,000 word business plan, is just insane. I'd say we worked on that just as much as we did on the recipe.
Yeah, I'd say well over 500 hours each.
Wow.
Like, yeah, and that's the
thing. A lot of times we were thinking, okay, why? Is this really going to be worth it? And at that point, we were thinking, okay, well, do we win money if we win nationals or whatever? And that was the main motivator. But looking back, it just really, as cheesy as it sounds, it taught us about hard work and what it can do. And it was necessary for us to learn about our competitors and learn about the market anyway. So it was very beneficial for us to do that.
Well, yeah. And I would say most, you know, people your age that are spending 500 hours in anything, it's probably video games.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. That's, I mean, it's always worth the experience, you know,
mm-hmm.
for sure. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you trying to compete against some of these multinational companies that are, you know, just mass producing products. Obviously, you have better ingredients, I'm guessing, than most of them. And that's probably a big point. But do you have a plan set up for that?
This is as simple as I can make it. There are people who are going to go to the store and buy a $3 bottle of ketchup. Okay. And that's always going to be a market.
And there's people that are always going to buy Heinz.
And there's people that are always going to buy Heinz. And that's totally cool. We don't have anything against them. And customers can choose wherever they want it or whoever they want to buy it from. But there's also a group of people and an enlarging group of people that want to buy products that are better for themselves and are willing to pay a premium. It doesn't matter if it's a $5 bottle of ketchup or a $7 bottle of ketchup or a $6 bottle of ketchup. They're going to pay more because they believe in the mission and they believe in the story behind it. And that's another thing too that we have on these manufacturers that they'll never be able to compete with us on is, again, first of all, we can provide a $7 bottle of ketchup and we can still have our brand name and center around that. Whereas Heinz all of a sudden starting to sell a $7 bottle of ketchup isn't going to work. Even if it has the same products as us same ingredients as us. Because again, what are they going to do if they want to compete with us? They're going to copy our recipe, which I have no doubt that they could probably do that, but they're going to cut the price. But again, then they're still attracting that same group that wants to buy the $3 or $3.50 bottle. The group is not going to change. Okay. There's people who want the premium product. And another way to explain it is there's people who want to buy BMWs and there's people who want to buy Toyotas. Again, nothing against either customer. But there's a reason why
it's a lot easier for us marketing wise to get someone to buy the $7 bottle of ketchup versus the $3 bottle of ketchup rather than it's not easy to get someone to buy a Beamer versus a Toyota.
Yeah. But there's a reason why BMW is still in business.
There's always going to be the market for the quality product.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And even if they do copy your recipe, which I know with some of the, probably even one of your competitors out there, you know, I've heard stories, you know, Mark Sisson, who started Primal Kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard him say on a podcast that when he got his mayo out there, all the big companies started to copy his recipe, but he kind of saw it from an interesting point of view. He said, you know, let them copy our recipe because that just means that there's going to be more quality products out there and it's proven exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're helping obviously the overall mission of, you know, getting healthier food products out there. And I mean, competition's good, right?
Yeah. And anybody who runs one of those multinationals will never, ever, ever be able to come out and say, we started this company with a mission to not only create a healthier and happier America with an actual story behind it. Again, my open heart surgery is what generally inspired it. With young teenagers, again, we're not taking any money out of this business right now. We're growing it because we believe in a mission. We're not here simply for profits. Now, are we going to make profits off this business? Yes, that's the goal. But the big manufacturers are never going to be able to tell you, we're not doing this just to make money. They may donate to a charity, and I support that. I do believe that, you know, you that part of our corporate, you know, anything in corporate, in the corporate world, you do need to, and there needs to be a little bit of philanthropy. And we're going to get into that a little bit too. We want to do that down the road. But they'll never be able to come and say, okay, I dealt I understand from the heart perspective, you know, people need this product because of this. I understand, and from Reed's position, that people need less sugar. Maybe they'd have struggled with obesity, and that they're leading the company now towards a healthier path. But the company in general is still a major for-profit business that's trying to basically keep those little brands suppressed. They're there for profits. We're here with a mission. Big difference.
So obviously we need to make profit to keep the business afloat.
Yeah, of course.
But I think the number one mission is providing this healthier product. And also, obviously not now, but down the road, our company culture is going to be
laid back.
Yeah, super laid back. And we're going to definitely focus on each of our employees' needs. And we're going to sit down with them. And if they want to be, say, if I'm COO of the company or whatever, if they want to be COO, that's great. Like, if they can be it, then they will. Yeah. The market is a market, and if they can beat one of us out for the top, then they can do it. That's what we're basing this around.
It was really cool. Talk about connections again. We were in San Antonio for FBLA Nationals, and we toured a place with my father called FCE Benefits. The CEO there, Isaac, super cool, chill guy. I mean, if you ever met him,
we walk in, and there's an older dude in a suit who looks super sophisticated, and then there's a guy in kind of like a black jumpsuit almost.
Yeah, he looked like a mechanic.
He looked like the janitor. We're like, okay, is the janitor showing us around or something? And that's Isaac. That's the president. That's the vice president of operations. Yeah. And he just starts talking.
Yeah, and he is just incredible to talk to. But their whole environment there is something I don't want to say we copy per se, but we definitely want to base our future offices and stuff off of. They have no paper. Any paper they get, they scan it in their computers, they shred it. So it's super clean, super open. And what they have on the walls is they have these dashboards. And so what the dashboards do is their tasks, and then they get assigned to an employee or a group of employees. And basically, there's a leaderboard. So whoever gets the most work done gets put at the top of the leaderboard. And it's a really cool system. It's live, so everybody in the building can see
it. So it's like every day that you go to work, it's like a little game, you know?
Yeah.
You always want to be at the top.
The thing for us is, as we know, in any situation, especially in a capitalist economy, competition is good.
And if it we'll play around with it, and if it works, then it works, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. It all depends on what the employees want and what works for them efficiency-wise, because a lot of people might not work well with a dashboard hanging over their head. Yeah. And we really want to cater to our employees' needs.
And on that too, the point of the dashboard is just, if you're at the bottom of the dashboard, it's not a bad thing. We just then want to talk to the employee and say, are you dealing with something in your life? Like, what's going on? We want to be able to know, though, instead of the employee just kind of hiding it, not doing a lot of work, they're really worried about something. And all of a sudden, 2 months down the road, you're like, well, I never knew that, you know, this happened or this event happened, and you feel bad about it. You want to address it when it happens, say, what can we do to help you? You know, in that kind of scenario. And I think a lot of companies miss out on that. It's really hard to know outside of the business world what's going on with your employees, even when you're with them every day, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's something that's definitely, you know, something that our generation or us younger people are definitely looking after and more interested in, just really making sure that the employees, you know, are always catered to and are always, mm-hmm. you know, are always in the mind.
Because people are going to do better work when they're happy and when they're comfortable.
For sure, yeah. So how has the last year, what has the last year looked like? I know you guys have been going on farmers markets the last couple months a lot, right?
Yeah, so we started selling 6 weeks ago now?
6 or 7 weeks ago. Yeah, we started selling our first farmer's market. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've gone to 5 farmer's markets. Farmer's market sales have been great. We really didn't know what to expect. We started out at the Delafield Farmer's Market and did over $900 worth of sales. We're like, wow.
Yeah, the first day.
Yeah.
We actually did better at the Delafield Market than we did at Waukesha, which was impressive. So, but the selling at farmer's markets has taught us so much about just sales, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're constantly interacting with people and you'd learn how to read people and read their emotions and if they even are interested at all. Because sometimes you say something different to every person that walks by. Sometimes there's going to be someone that doesn't look remotely interested. Don't say, want to try some ketchup to them. But you just read people and you said, would you like to try some ketchup? Or, hey, how's it going? Like, just read.
And the funniest line I've ever heard, that every farmer's market we get from somebody, we'll talk to them, they're walking by and we'll be like, oh, I don't really like ketchup. And then we'll always be like, no, just go over here and try it. And every single person that doesn't like ketchup that's come and tried it with either potato wedge, carrot, whatever, has bought a bottle.
Wow.
Every single one.
I mean, that really speaks for the product, right?
Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'd say to any listeners out there who are like, I don't like ketchup or I'm still a Heinz person. Again, that's totally cool.
Just try it.
Yeah. And so actually in the back of our shirts, if you saw it, our main mantra there, our marketing thing is, have you tried it yet? And I believe that's true, especially for me, in any situation in the world, at any time. If you try it once and you don't like it, you never have to do it again. But just give it a chance. I mean, why not? Try a roller coaster. Try eating something that you've never tried before. Because if you like it, then you're like, oh, cool, I found something I like. And but if you don't like it, you never have to do it again.
And ultimately, that's what the product is going to sell by the taste. So people can, you know, say shit about the product, but you can't say anything until you try it. Because I'd say 90% of the people that try it at farmers markets love it and buy a bottle because they love it. And maybe the other 10% either don't like ketchup ever or they are just... they think it's good and they just want to help us out, but at least 90-95% buy it because they love it, the taste.
I'm also happy you guys went with a nice glass bottle. I really think that adds to it, you know, that it's so much. I just think the whole plastic gives it that whole another like cheap feel and all that. So you guys obviously started selling it, you know, during summer break, right? Are you already back in school?
No, we start next Wednesday.
Next week. So that's going to be, you know, how are you trying to manage that? That's going to be hard, right?
And this is one of the craziest things. Again, I for those young entrepreneurs who are listening, start in high school because you'll learn time management immediately.
Time management, and we don't have expenses that a 26-year-old has, you know?
We don't have a whole mortgage, apartment
pay. We don't have to pay for all of our food. We don't have to pay for our house payment, but we're really fortunate and grateful to have. But.
And although we weren't selling last year during the school year, we were developing the entire product in that school year. And that, again, took a lot of man hours. I mean, it was like the business plan we were doing it, like almost every day after school, hours at my house, typing, printing, reading, everything. And it just teaches you. And I still had homework. I had 4 AP classes that whole second semester last year. You need to learn how to manage time. And that's something that's hopefully translate later on in my life. And again, to other people who are doing it, how to manage, okay, this is when I need to do homework. This is when I need to eat. This is when I need to shower. This is when I need to do other work. And you look at school as kind of like a job. Okay, this is when I need to be focused in school. And then this is when I have time to have fun. And one of the greatest tips I read last year before the school year, because I was like going into junior year, I had this super hard schedule. And I was like, oh man, I'm just going to get pounded. I got a business. I got varsity golf. I got all this stuff coming up, AP tests later in the year. And I was just like, okay, what's the biggest thing? And I read this article that said the biggest thing is, and if you're creating a schedule, to create time in your schedule that's free time. Not book everything in your schedule that you have doing or whatever. Anybody can do that. But to actually have a time slot, let's say from 2 to 4 o'clock, where you do nothing else and you have everything else booked around that, and you say,
do what you want. You watch Netflix, you take a bath,
you do whatever you want. Go golfing. And that really has helped with my time management. Like, let's say after school, if they weren't coming to my house until 5 o'clock, okay, that's either, you know, that's free time or it's just homework time. And then after that, I have free time after that, say from 8 to 10. free time. I can do whatever I want, play video games, do whatever. And that's the time, again, for those kids who are playing video games, to play the video games. Not when there's work to be done.
And it's ultimately up to you and your decision on how you want to manage your time, because business and starting a business and running a business is not for everyone. It is for almost no one, because people don't want, you know, it's glorified right now. Starting entrepreneurship, starting a business, it's super glorified, and it looks totally different before you actually do it. You have no idea how to run a business until you actually do it. It's like riding a bike or driving a car. You don't know how to do it, and you can read all about it. You can watch all these videos, but you don't know how to do it until you do it, and we're still learning a lot about running the business. But don't start a business because you think, oh, this is going to get me rich. Start a business because you like running and starting a business. And that's what I love. I just love talking to different people and solving different problems every day, just getting things done, and ultimately, you know, our ultimate mission in providing the healthier product.
So. Yeah. And that's one of the greatest feeling I've ever had, or still ever have, is again, going to farmers markets and have people saying, I love this product. I absolutely love it.
In fact, putting a smile on their face. Yeah. It's like no money can replace it.
Yeah. And in fact, today I dropped off a case for a woman who was buying it for a boutique, and I gave her a bottle, I think 2 weeks ago. She bought one, and I walked in and she's like, oh my God. She's like, that ketchup was just so good. It was so good. And it's so fun to think, like, okay, we spent the year making $0, and we haven't taken any money personally.
The business has
made
money
now, but. And just all of this work into it, and finally have someone just appreciate it. It's not an award. It's not a trophy that's just going to sit on your shelf. It's actual people who are talking to you and saying, this is great. I want more of this. This is awesome.
And when we were just thinking about the business, I remember we were so stupid. We were just thinking about, oh, what car are we going to buy as a millionaire 19-year-old? You know, which BMW are we going to get? And a year and a half later, it's not about, for me at least, it's not about that anymore. I couldn't care less about the money. Obviously, it's an incentive, and I'm going to have to put food on the table and pay the bills eventually, but it's definitely not the leading cause for doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's not only selling it, right? You guys are also, you're the one that's cooking. You're the ones cooking the ketchup. You're in the kitchen producing it yourself. You don't have, right now, you don't have anyone making it for you. Mm-hmm. What does a day in the kitchen look like? You know,
we cooked yesterday,
8:30
to 11 o'clock. And that's a short day for us.
PM,
8:30 to 11:30 PM. And we only got four batches done. That's about 240 bottles.
So 13 hour day.
Yeah. That's... And so we cooked a small commercial kitchen called the Petite Chef in Delsman, and it's hot. It's really, you know, it's
a grind.
It's really a grind. But, you know, again, it's super satisfying once you fill the bottle, seal it. And today when I go home and label them, it's like, wow, this is a product now. Like this is something we actually made. It's cool to touch it. And it should be noted, I think, for our listeners, even though we're working with a cold packer and nothing's for certain yet, but we still want to have that ethos that it's handmade, right? That we put our blood, sweat, and tears into making our product. So we do plan, later this year, we're going to produce ketchup at the commercial kitchen more for restaurants and gallon jugs and stuff with pumps, easier for them to use and stuff. But down the road, we're still going to probably produce, I'd say, at least once a quarter of a year ourselves, Reed and I, whatever, hands-on, and just give it to people, maybe with like a special cap on, like a gold cap, you know, like this is a handcrafted bottle. Just because not only is it fun to do, I mean, it's hard work, but it's fun to do, but because it's cool to tell people, yeah, I handcrafted this myself. And obviously still right now, we're all handcrafting ourselves and stuff, and it doesn't feel like, I don't want to say it's special. I mean, it's really cool to give somebody a product that you created yourself, but once you know you have all these other things going on and we can't produce it ourselves, it's going to feel even more special that we can produce it ourselves for that small batch down the road.
And kitchen work, we've learned, it's just so incredibly tough. Like, shout out to anyone working in a kitchen at a restaurant, because it is mentally and physically exhausting. And I would still rather spend 13 hours cooking ketchup than spend 4 hours working at Walmart. Like, I would rather be working on my own company for 13 hours, not get paid a dime, than work at Walmart or work a normal part-time job.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's something I always say. Once you learn how to cook, or once you cook anything, mm-hmm. it's such a satisfying thing, you know. If you're going through the whole process, and then if you're really into it and you're looking at the ingredients, and it's just something that, you know, can teach you a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are the future plans like right now? You guys got any new flavors coming up?
Anything yeah. planned?
So actually, we're talking with a co-packer right now, Contract Comestibles out of East Troy. We met with him, with Andy Gale, about two, three weeks ago.
Yeah.
We met with him, and so this co-packer, they pump out 30 to 40,000 bottles a day. And like we said, we do 300 bottles a day. Yeah. So,
that's full scale. I mean, when we originally go with them, we're just going to do a small production run. It's not going to be 30,000 bottles, but
eventually.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
But we're also talking to a food broker. And the funny story behind that, so my neighbor, so I have a landscaping company, and my landscaping business partner, his grandpa lives with him. He lives two houses down from me. And his stepdad does a detailing company thing. He details cars in his garage. Anyway, this food broker guy was getting his car detailed, and he goes over to Wayne's house, my business partner's grandpa. And Wayne is just, he's a classic businessman. He talks to everyone. He talks.
Yeah.
He talks to everyone.
It's crazy.
But he just asks, okay, well, what do you do? And he says he's a food broker. And he says, well, let me show you something. And he shows him the product. He tells him about us. And that's how we got connected with him. So without Wayne talking to John, the food broker, we would have never met him. And that just shows the importance of constantly talking to people, because you never know who you're going to meet.
Yep. And John's got connections with a lot of regional grocery stores, Sendix, Festival Foods, and stuff like
basically
that.
Basically everything in the state except for Roundy's.
Yeah, which is a pretty big deal for us. Again, if there's any listeners out there from Roundy's or anybody, you can give us a call or something. But down the road, yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy here. But obviously, we still have college. So we have high school. That's, I don't want to say inhibits our company's growth, but it takes up a lot of time. And then college. And the crazy thing is that we plan to go to college in the South. He's looking more at University of Miami. Reed is. I'm considering University of Miami, Florida State, you know, SMU in Texas and stuff. I can't deal with the weather up here. But it's going to be hard, because we're going to form all these connections up here, right? And then it's just like, we're going to leave. And I don't want just to turn to a ghost town up here, right? So we're probably going to be assembling a team to kind of control operations up here and keep that going, because we don't want to leave our people that we've met with and talked to and told them, this is our product, we'll get it on your store shelves. People will come in. That's another thing that I think is a couple retailers have found out, that through our social media, through our talking, people will actually come into their stores to find our product. And that's something that's really cool. It's hard to create a product where people will actually go to a store to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously that increases their business, because while they're there, they might buy a pastry at a local coffee shop. Or
we're
else.
At a small flour and ice cream shop in Dousman. And yeah, I think we've driven a lot of sales there just because of people going in there to buy a bottle of ketchup.
So yeah, we're gonna grow. So
shout out Chamberlain's Dousman.
There you go. And we're gonna grow in the South, and hopefully, you know, just merge the South to the North, and then from there
one of us works east, one of us works west.
Yeah, that's actually the plan. I'll probably take over the West.
I got some people in the New York area and East Coast that will help me up there, and so I'll move up the East Coast.
And then we just expand that way, north, south, you know, everywhere across the country. But on that note, to cater our flavors, and I know this whole thing actually started from flavors, so we'll bring that up. We have for the South, for the Miami area, we have Chipotle Lime coming out. And again, that's going to be...
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be available everywhere. But again, that's kind of like, you know, I've been to Miami, I've been to South Florida.
Lime is everywhere. Lime. And so, I love it. Lime, oh yeah. God.
Chipotle lime. And it's just the name. Actually,
I was going to be the spicier option. Yeah.
And I was in Dallas. There was this, my dad and I were there to tour SMU, the college. And, we went to this restaurant and it was right across from our hotel. And we were like, oh, it doesn't look super crazy. It looked kind of just like a local place. And we walk in and it's super nice. Like the nicest restaurant, I mean, I've almost ever been in. I mean, it's like a Gibson's in Chicago. It was insane. And we sat down and they brought out an appetizer. They had these fried onion rings and they brought out this Chipotle lime ketchup. Now, I was like, what on earth? And it tasted amazing. I was like, this is insane. I'm like, how does this even exist? And you say, well, okay, Evan, this is another ketchup. Like, what are you talking about? Well, here's the thing behind it. We talked to the chef and he's like, yeah, I just, you know, I make it myself. I make it myself and I put some, you know, this and this in it. And I'm like, okay. So he's like, yeah, I don't really care about it. Anything, you can do whatever you want. And so, yeah, now we're up here. We're going to develop that flavor out of ourselves. We're not going to copy anybody, but it's easier. And people also ask about mustard and stuff like that. It's easier to take our base recipe that's already organic certified, FDA approved, and add a couple ingredients.
You literally have to add two ingredients, yeah, and just portion and the
taste,
it correctly.
Yeah, and the taste is already there. Then completely develop a new product, because mustard is not ketchup. You know, it isn't. And another flavor we're developing, even though we got the inspiration for Chipotle lime from Texas, but for the Texas area, the deep south area, is bourbon flavor ketchup.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of whiskey, so that'll be awesome.
There you go. So that's, you know, and I haven't personally tried mixing it. You know, that's not, you know, whatever. I'm under 21, but you know, I've tried a couple of bourbon barbecue sauces.
I'll try it for you. Some feedback.
There you go. And we're going to try to develop that. But those are future plans. I mean, right now our main goal is getting the co-packer set up, our traditional tomato ketchup out in the store shelves, and then developing those other flavors. But with those other flavors, we still want to cement in people's minds that when you're buying our product, is the best product possible. We've gone through so much research, everything, testing different flavor types, and when you buy it, hopefully you like it. Maybe not everybody likes it.
It's going to change nutrition.
Yes. Yeah. And some people might not like Chipotle lime flavor or bourbon flavor, but generally speaking, it's going to be the best product we can offer for anybody.
It's almost like you guys are playing to shift the paradigm on what ketchup is, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, basically, why, like you said earlier, why does everyone think ketchup has to taste like Heinz ketchup?
Mm-hmm.
Or why does ketchup even have to taste like what we think it is? So yeah, why not add a couple more flavors to it and you don't make like a whole new product? But
it's funny, you go to Pick and Save and there's about 10 different ketchups on the shelf and they all taste the same.
Yeah,
they all taste pretty similar.
And this
to
is something
Heinz.
I want to bring up too. Difference between us, with no money, well, actually all the money we invest in our businesses ourselves, or our own money, I was birthday money and a couple, you know, doing side jobs for people. We've invested about $10,000 total into the business. And none of our parents' money, nothing like that. But the thing is, that's the difference between us, you know, starting with that little money, trying to grow up, then let's say a group of 40-year-olds, still young, anybody out there is 40, not offending, you're still young, and maybe they have, let's say, $1 million in the bank collectively, and starting the same product, same thing, is that even if they have the mission there, the story behind it, I mean, maybe they had open heart surgery, I don't know. But
it's still not the same story.
It's still not the same story. And it's hard to justify taking $1 million investment saying, okay, we're not basically just doing this for money. And again, I'm not saying that we're a nonprofit, but again, we still have that mission that we literally started with very little investment in the business originally, and we're trying to grow it in every step of the way.
So we didn't start the company to sell it. The end goal, one of the end goals is probably to sell it, or I mean, you never know.
Whatever's in the best interest.
This is 40, 50 years down the road. Maybe we pass it on to our kids. Who knows? It doesn't, at this point, it doesn't matter. But that's definitely not the primary thing that we're looking at right now.
And I'd say what we're going to treat the business, even when it's not public, like it's public. What in public businesses, they do what's in the best interest of their shareholders, typically, hopefully. But, we want to do what's in the best interest of our customers. If we can reach, you know, 7 different countries and expand our network across all of America by being bought out and still controlling the reins of the company, then that's in the best interest of our customers. But if they're going to buy us out to kill our brand, you know, we're going to be like, no. I mean, I don't think there's any amount of money in the world that I would take for a brand to just be killed off by a major competitor, because it's just so much goodness behind our brand and truth behind our brand and honesty behind our brand for us to do that.
And this is what we love doing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that, Chipotle lime.
Yeah.
I mean, I do a lot of barbecue, you mm-hmm. know, so that'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are also starting a blog, right?
Yep. Blood, Sweat, and Ketchup. I love the name. I absolutely love writing. And not to say that nobody else is going to, if anyone wants to author some articles for us, that's fine. We'll give you credit. That's another thing too. We're going to have a recipes page on our website. We already have a couple people that submitted like some meatloaf recipes and stuff. And but on top of that, so we're going to have our blog. I assume I'd probably be writing most of it, have read edited it, you know, everything. But we're just going to talk about everything. From, again, literally everything we're talking about today, the big competitors, why we're better, why I almost had a meltdown today. I talked about this before we actually went live, because I parked in a parking lot in Delafield and I was like, there's not a restaurant around here that I want food from right now. And I'm not going to go home and cook something healthy. And I don't want a salad from McDonald's. And there's nothing here that's healthy. And I was furious. I was on the verge of screaming. And I drove and
I believe it.
I actually, he knows I get pretty mad sometimes, but we drove to Good Harvest Market. I drove to Good Harvest Market and, you know, I went in there in their organic store over in Waukesha, and they had this little cafe and they had organic food for sale. And not that organic is healthier. I mean, generally speaking, it is. There's less, you know, artificial flavors and all that stuff in it. But I just like supporting organic. Again, I know that there's stricter standards, that I'm buying a better product, and that hopefully that the farmers are being treated better. It's not these big commercial farms where, you know, it's just pump, 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 you know, as much product as you can out. It's good, honest working farms and farmers. And that just plays into everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. So in the future, we definitely always want to support, you know, the local farmers and organic farmers and any healthier option, because I agree with Evan. If I go work out and I'm starving afterwards and I don't want to go home, I want to go hang out with friends, I do not want to go blow my whole 2-hour workout on McDonald's. Like, yeah. And there's not many options. We go to Delafield and there's like, what, McDonald's, Qdoba, noodles, like all these super high calorie.
And it's not to say there's not healthy options there, but it's not advertised that way. And it's very hard. There's a lot you have to surrender for it to be healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't eat this type of rice. You can't add queso to it at Qdoba or something like that. It's very, very hard to find something that doesn't just completely wipe out what you did in your workout, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I always say on the podcast too, once you start engaging with food, that's kind of when you start to realize how much, you know, unhealthy stuff is really out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you would say you, over the last year or so, has that really changed your whole mindset? I mean,
two, 3 years ago, we didn't really notice it. But then once we actually bring an organic, no sugar added product to market, we see it everywhere.
Yeah. And I'm happy about that. I mean, I love Buy Drinks. Shout out to Buy Drinks. You know, they use stevia too. You know, 5 calories a serving, and it tastes great.
No sugar
and caffeine. I love caffeine. Like anything that has caffeine and lower sugar, great. And yeah, you notice it. You know, it's like, and I think the business plan when we were creating it too. We did so much research on other products, not even in the ketchup business, other condiments, other drinks, foods, anything. And you just start to realize, yeah, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of people trying, but there's nobody who's super large. Yeah, there's nobody super large that does all those things together. Like Heinz, they offer organic products, they offer healthier options for their condiments, but they're not centered around that. Okay, they're still centered around their traditional ketchup.
And they always will be.
Yes, and that's where we're kind of different. We're always going to be centered around, again, when you pick up a bottle of ketchup, please, you know that it's the healthiest, best tasting option that there is. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just the best. And I think that a lot of customers can kind of rock with that. It's kind of like, not to diss Samsung, originally when you pick up an iPhone, it's just like, there's always iPhone people, there's always Samsung people. When you pick up an iPhone, it's just so easy to use. I love iPhones, Apple products. That's just like, I can't do it. I would never try anything else. And before Apple was huge or anything, you know, even way back when IBM was huge and whatever, you wonder like, why weren't they the pioneers of the iPhone or whatever? You know, Apple, you know, was kind of, you know, growing small, getting bigger, all these innovative products that were always just superior. And people knew when they bought the original, Mac computers and now the iPhone, that they're getting the best product they possibly can.
And anyone with an iPhone or a Mac, most people say, I'm never going back, never going over to Samsung. And that's pretty much what we want to happen with our ketchup. Once you try ketchup, please, you're never going back to Heinz. And we've already had plenty of people, buy a bottle from a farmer's market and then reach out to us and say, okay, where can I buy this? And we say, okay, what farmer's markets we're going to be at or different retailers that we're in.
Mm-hmm. So. And you guys are also selling online, right?
Yep, we sell online. If anybody lives in Waukesha County, you can either, hopefully there's a local store, but if there's not a local store, the shipping cost is pretty expensive. So what you can do is after you purchase the product online, we have an online store, you can fill out the contact us form with your information and then your address so we can confirm your order, and then we'll just deliver it to you if you're in Waukesha County. Because it's not, usually there's something on the way anyways, and we'll just drop it off. But the shipping is really expensive because our product's very heavy for its size. We have an online store, and then on the homepage, we have the events we're at, and then the retailers we're available at too.
Which will be growing very quickly in the next 6 months.
Yeah, that's. Have you guys thought about going or getting your ketchup toward La Crosse? I know that there's a lot of, you know, health conscious people up there.
Yeah. So right now we definitely want to mainly hit Southeast Wisconsin and just get into all the different cities here. But yeah, eventually we want to first hit the state of Wisconsin, get west and north, and then regionally and then nationally. So that's really the goal for expansion.
The thing right now, it's just you got to walk before you run. There's so many things we got to set. I mean, even a year and a half ago, we were like, actually in April 2018, we're like, oh, we're going to be selling by the summer. It took over a year and a couple months to be selling our actual product in like the end of or mid July, our actual product. I mean, you know, we like to think we can expand, you know, in 2 years to the entire nation. But I mean, we don't know how fast we're going to expand. But yeah,
and it likely will take longer than we can even predict.
The first area we're probably going to expand to is obviously up north, you know, La Crosse area, Green Bay area, all that area. And then obviously South Chicago, huge city. You know, just
up into Minneapolis. I know in Duluth and the Twin Cities, there's a ton of interest in organic products. So same with Iowa and Indiana. And then the whole Midwest.
We'll move south then. And then Miami is a huge city. The Chipotle lime flavor should probably take off. And we'll expand from there too. It's just different.
One step at a time.
Expansion.
Yeah, one step at a time for sure. Well, listen, guys. I mean, I pretty much asked everything I wanted to ask. Is there anything... We'll get to, you know, where people can find you, but is there anything else that you guys want to get off your mind or
I just want to get this off my mind because I brought it up a lot. I don't want to use my experience with open heart surgery as a marketing tactic. You shouldn't be buying our ketchup because I had open heart surgery. The only reason I bring it up is because it was my genuine inspiration behind starting it.
And everyone wants to know the backstory.
And everybody asks about it. And I'm worried, and we don't have this on our marketing, on our label at all, because people might say, oh, it's just a sob story, you know, whatever. And it's not like there's anything like wrong with me. Like, I'm a perfectly healthy living human being right now.
It's not a sob story. I've never seen Evan sob over it.
Yeah, there you go. But I just want that to be noted that I'm not trying to use it as a marketing ploy. I just bring it up because it was an inspiration.
Yeah.
But that's all I got.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, where can people find you? It's time to plug everything. Yep. You know?
So go to kpketchup.com and you can see all our upcoming events and all the upcoming farmers markets we're going to be at. Also all our retailers right now. Yep. We can list our retailers. So we're at Chamberlain's in Dousman, Mama D's in Wales, Stonebank Farm Market, Concord General Store,
Daybreak Mobile
in Delafield. So we're really just trying to start with a retailer mainly in each kind of city around us.
Yeah.
And then we can expand from there and expand towards Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Awesome. And your Instagram handle is also
at KP Ketchup. And Facebook, you just look up KP Ketchup or Ketchup Please and you can like us on there.
And I'm going to link everything into show notes for all the listeners.
Yeah.
Links.
Yeah.
So it'll be super easy for them to click on and all that and find it. Well, yeah, listen, I think you guys are really genuine and smart guys, and I think what you're doing is awesome. I like seeing, you know, people with ideas and then with the general public health in mind and trying to get good food products on the market. Because I personally, you know, a lot of the podcasts is like eat real foods, like even stay away from processed food. But processed food doesn't always have to be bad, you know. You can make condiments and sauces and all that with high quality ingredients like you guys are. So I think that's awesome. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And
yes,
definitely hope you're going to develop that bourbon flavor eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for coming on. And I hope to have you back sometime.
Of course.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
That's all I have for you guys today. If you find this podcast valuable, please consider supporting it. You can review and rate it on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app that you use. Reviewing the podcast is still one of the best ways to really support it because that allows us to reach a lot more foodies like you and I. And of course, you can also share it on social media with your family and friends. Or even better, tell someone about it. You know, tell someone who you might think will also get value from it. Word of mouth is still my favorite way to get the word out. In the show notes, I've included a share link that allows you to share the podcast super easily with anyone. Otherwise, you guys can visit my website at www.theyearofplenty.com. There you will find a subscribe page with which you know you can directly subscribe to the show so that you will never miss an episode. If you use social media, you can follow me on Instagram. My name is Poldy Wieland, all one word. The podcast is also on Twitter and Facebook. Just type @TheYearOfPlenty into the search bar. Otherwise, the show notes will have all the links. Thank you so much for listening and all of your support. I really, really appreciate all of you foodies who take the time out of your day to listen. So let's keep learning and exploring real food and drink together.